So I want you to imagine picking up your smartphone right now. You tap the screen, it wakes up, but it is just completely blank.
Just a totally empty screen.
Yeah, exactly. There's no home screen, no grid of those colorful little squares we are so used to, no folders, no weather widget, and absolutely no app store.
Right, which sounds crazy.
It does. There is just a single, subtle glowing interface waiting for you to speak.
I mean, it sounds like one of those minimalist concept videos you'd see on a design blog or something. But what's fascinating here is that this exact scenario is suddenly moving from science fiction into, well, a very aggressive multi-billion-dollar production timeline.
Welcome to the deep dive. Today, our mission is to decode a really huge bombshell leak that just hit the tech world, courtesy of the renowned supply chain analyst Meng-Chi Kuo.
Yeah, it's a massive deal.
It really is. On April 27th, 2026, Kuo dropped a research note detailing OpenAI's alleged master plan to build and launch an entirely appless smartphone by 2028. So we are going to figure out how this agent-first interface actually works in practice, explore why a software giant is trying to scale the impossibly high walls of Apple's hardware ecosystem, and, examine whether their goal of selling 300 to 400 million units annually is a stroke of visionary genius or just a spectacular historic disaster in the making.
And we shouldn't treat this as just another tech rumor about a new slab of glass and aluminum. If this leak is accurate, it is the most ambitious hardware project since Amazon tried and spectacularly failed to launch the Fire Phone.
Oh, the Fire Phone.
Yeah,
Wow.
exactly. What we are really talking about today is a fundamental reimagining of computing. It asks you, the listener, to consider what it would actually mean to completely surrender the navigation of your digital life to a single centralized AI entity.
Okay, let's unpack this because we need to start with the sheer weight of the players involved here. This isn't some Kickstarter campaign. According to the leak, for this 2028 mass production target, OpenAI is partnering with Qualcomm and MediaTek to build custom AI-optimized chips.
Which they absolutely need if they want to do this right.
Yeah, exactly. And they've tapped Luxshare Precision for manufacturing. Now, for those of you who don't follow supply chains, Luxshare is a massive deal. They're the same company trusted to assemble AirPods and Apple Watches. Oh, and they have Jony Ive.
Which is arguably the most poetic detail in this entire leak, to be honest.
It really is.
Right, because Jony Ive is the legendary designer behind the original iPhone. OpenAI acquired his hardware startup, I/O, for $6.5 billion in May of 2025.
That's just wild.
So you effectively have the architect of the iPhone trying to systematically dismantle the very smartphone paradigm he created.
Right. But the glaring question for anyone looking at this is, well, why? Why does the company behind ChatGPT want to deal with the nightmare of physical manufacturing?
It's a great question.
Because right now, OpenAI is just renting an apartment in Apple's building. Apple's the landlord, and the landlord won't let OpenAI knock down any walls to remodel. Building their own phone is essentially buying the entire city block.
I love that analogy.
Thanks. I mean, currently, ChatGPT is just an app, and being just an app means dealing with API limits.
Let's break down why those limits are so suffocating for an AI company. Think of an API, an application programming interface, as a digital waiter taking orders between the ChatGPT app and the iPhone's core operating system.
Okay, a waiter.
Right. Apple and Google severely limit how many trips that waiter can make and what rooms the waiter is allowed to enter. ChatGPT can't run continuously in the background, it can't easily read your screen, and it doesn't have deep, unrestricted system access to your other apps.
Not to mention the financial toll of all this. Living in Apple's building means paying rent, which comes in the form of that brutal 15% to 30% App Store commission tax on every single subscription.
Exactly.
By owning the hardware, OpenAI escapes the tax and bypasses that digital waiter entirely. And the math here is just wild. The global smartphone market is a $500 billion annual industry.
$500 billion.
Yeah. If OpenAI captures just 5% of that, they're looking at $25 billion. That is over 10 times their current revenue from ChatGPT Plus and enterprise APIs combined. But, I mean, I have to wonder if this is really about hardware motions. It feels like selling phones is just a Trojan horse to build a massive data moat.
You're touching on the underlying economics of modern AI there.
Yeah.
The hardware itself is just a vessel. The real prize is the strategic flywheel.
The flywheel, right.
Yeah. Hardware control gives OpenAI continuous, uninterrupted background execution. If they own the device, they own the ambient data, your real-time location, your contact network, your browsing habits, your granular app usage patterns.
All of it.
all of it. When you have more users generating that incredibly rich system-level behavioral data, you train vastly superior AI models. Those better models create a more magical user experience, which in turn attracts more users to buy the phone. It's the exact same flywheel mechanism that made Google's search engine an unstoppable monopoly.
But the way they intend to capture that data requires a massive shift in how we actually use a device. Let's dig into this appless paradigm, because we are deeply conditioned to think in terms of siloed applications.
Oh, absolutely.
If you want to order food, you tap DoorDash. If you want to ride, you tap Uber. If you need the forecast, you tap the weather app.
Which fundamentally is manual task execution. It is highly fragmented. You are the one doing the labor of translating your goal into individual software actions.
Right.
What OpenAI is proposing is called agentic computing.
Yeah.
In this model, you don't open anything. You issue a single complex command. For example, you say, I have a meeting tomorrow at 9 a.m. downtown. Book a ride and set a reminder.
And the AI just orchestrates all of it behind the scenes.
Precisely. A single AI agent checks your calendar to find the specific downtown address. It then analyzes historical traffic data for that exact route during tomorrow's morning rush hour.
Okay.
Right. It interfaces directly with ride-sharing APIs to book the car, automatically factoring in a 10-minute buffer so you aren't late. It sets your alarm. And proactively, it checks the local weather forecast and verbally warns you to bring an umbrella. It accomplishes the work of half a dozen distinct apps without you ever navigating a user interface.
That sounds incredible. For productivity, I mean, I would love an AI that acts as an ultra-competent executive assistant.
Who wouldn't?
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. This is where the appless premise starts to lose me a bit. Tasks are great. Utility is great. But what about the experiences on our phones that simply cannot be automated?
Like what?
Well, I can't just look at a blank glowing orb and say, entertain me, and expect it to magically replicate the incredibly addictive algorithm of TikTok. I can't ask it to let me play a visually rich game like Genshin Impact or, you know, give me that very specific chaotic feeling of browsing a Reddit thread. Yeah. We don't just use our phones to book Ubers.
That's a crucial distinction, and it's a very fair pushback. But it's important to clarify the mechanics of what appless really means in this context. OpenAI isn't trying to eradicate screens or visual media entirely.
Yeah.
You will still have a display to watch Netflix or scroll Instagram. The average user has over 80 apps, and many of them are for discovery, not utility. What they are trying to replace is the operating system that launches those experiences. They want to kill the grid of icons. So the visual interface still exists for entertainment, but the navigation becomes entirely conversational or predictive.
Okay, so the AI is sort of the ultimate gatekeeper to the content.
Exactly.
But wait, if this agent is booking my ride, reading my emails to find my flight time, and checking my bank account to see if I could afford the premium Uber, doesn't that mean it requires a terrifying amount of access to my personal life?
Yes. It requires absolute visibility. For agentic computing to function as promised, the AI needs centralized data. Your finances, your communication style, your exact location history, your health metrics. Everything. Yeah, this introduces a monumental privacy hurdle. Traditional apps are inherently compartmentalized. Your weather app doesn't have the permissions to read your banking app.
Right, they exist in their own little sandboxes.
Exactly. But this single AI agent would need to read everything. Massive regulatory alarms.
I can imagine.
Oh, yeah. Especially in regions governed by strict data protection laws like the GDPR in Europe or the CCPA out in California.
Which brings us right to the heavily fortified gates of Apple's ecosystem. OpenAI isn't just fighting regulators here. They're going head-to-head with a company that has a 17-year head start on smartphone dominance.
Huh.
Apple launched the iPhone in 2007, and today they boast a 92% customer retention rate.
That retention rate is the highest in the entire consumer tech industry, and it isn't an accident at all. It is a carefully engineered mechanism known as the lock-in effect.
Let's talk about how that mechanism actually works on a human level, because I think of it this way. Apple's ecosystem isn't just a walled garden anymore. It's a luxury resort, and your entire digital life is the baggage you'd have to abandon to check out.
That is a perfect way to put it.
We're talking about your iCloud photo library, your Apple Watch health data, and critically, we're talking about iMessage. The blue bubble phenomenon literally alters social dynamics. Leaving the iPhone means turning green in your family's group chat, which creates actual social friction. Plus, OpenAI currently has exactly zero companion devices to ease the transition. No watch, no earbuds, no tablet.
Furthermore, Apple is perfectly aware of the AI threat, and they are aggressively adapting. Look at Apple Intelligence, which is deeply integrated into iOS 18 and macOS Sequoia. Apple is utilizing its neural engine for on-device processing.
It means the AI brain is living directly on the physical phone, right? No cloud needed.
Correct. The data never leaves your hand for most tasks. And for more complex requests that require cloud computing, Apple built something called private cloud compute.
How does that work?
Well, instead of acting like a giant sponge that absorbs your data to get smarter, which is essentially OpenAI's model, Apple's cloud acts like a digital shredder. Your data is encrypted, processed in a secure server enclave, and instantly destroyed the moment the task is complete.
Wow.
Yeah, it is explicitly not used for training. On top of that, Apple introduced the App Intense API, which allows their local AI to reach into the 1.8 million existing apps on the App Store and perform actions inside them. And keep in mind, Apple starts weak, like with Siri or Apple Maps, but they relentlessly catch up. By 2028, Apple Intelligence will be highly evolved.
So Apple is building the exact same agent-style orchestration, but doing it with the apps we already know, while keeping the data fiercely protected.
Exactly.
Which creates a fascinating hostage situation for OpenAI, David versus Goliath, really. Right now, ChatGPT is already an app on the iPhone. It's even integrated into Siri. So if OpenAI wants to launch their own phone, what is their unique selling proposition? Why buy the cow when the milk is free on the App Store?
That is the core dilemma. Apple Intelligence is the tortoise, and ChatGPT is the hare. If OpenAI tries to remove the ChatGPT app from the iPhone to create artificial scarcity, basically trying to force people to buy their phone, they are shooting themselves in the foot.
How so?
It would be a catastrophic self-inflicted wound. If they pull ChatGPT from iOS, they immediately lose access to over 200 million daily active users.
Which is a lot of revenue.
Billions in potential subscription revenue. But most critically, they sever their own data supply. They lose the daily, continuous human interaction data they desperately need to train their next-generation models.
Which makes Min-Chi Kuo's leaked prediction of 300 to 400 million unit sales sound completely detached from reality. Let's do the math on that target for a second.
Sure.
A 300 million unit goal represents roughly 23% of the entire projected 2026 global smartphone market, which sits at about 1.3 billion phones.
Yeah.
If OpenAI hits 300 million, they wouldn't just be successful. They would immediately surpass Apple's annual sales of 235 million iPhones and beat Samsung's 270 million. Wait, they want 23% of the global market on their first try?
Yeah, it is wild.
Without any supply chain experience or retail partnerships, that's like me deciding to take up running and setting my first goal as beating Usain Bolt at the Olympics.
It borders on operational delusion. This raises an important question about their understanding of hardware logistics. To understand why software supremacy does not translate to hardware success, we have to look at the smartphone graveyard.
Okay, let's go there.
Amazon is a perfect case study. They had virtually unlimited capital, deep Prime integration, and Alexa. Yet, the Amazon Fire Phone sold a dismal 35,000 units.
Because Amazon tried to force users into a walled garden where the phone was just a cash register for the Amazon store, and they completely lacked the app variety of Android and iOS. Nobody wants a phone that just exists to sell them more things.
Precisely. Or look at Andy Rubin, the actual creator of the Android operating system. He launched the Essential Phone thinking a pure, beautiful software experience was enough.
How did that do?
It sold barely 88,000 units because he underestimated the brutal logistics of cellular carrier partnerships. Even Microsoft spent billions trying to push the Windows Phone and peaked at a mere 3% market share.
And the Windows Phone is the ultimate cautionary tale here because it died from the classic developer chicken and egg trap.
Right.
If OpenAI launches a phone with no users, third-party developers won't spend time building custom agents for it. But if there are no useful agents built by developers, everyday users won't buy the phone. And let's not forget the timeline. By the time OpenAI enters this market in 2028, Apple will be launching the iPhone 20. Android 18 will have Google's Gemini AI baked into its DNA at the deepest levels.
This is where we have to separate software brilliance from supply chain reality. Building an intelligent AI model is one discipline. Manufacturing consumer hardware at a global scale is an entirely different beast.
It's just so physical.
It is. You don't just design a phone. You have to establish a flawless assembly pipeline. You have to manage global warranty repairs, source spare parts across continents, and provide 24/7 customer service in dozens of localized languages. And before a single phone can be sold, you have to pass stringent carrier certifications in over 100 different countries. Apple is a master of logistics, and even their first iPhone had massive connectivity issues. OpenAI is expecting to nail this invisible, incredibly complex infrastructure on day one.
So what does this all mean? Given the gravity of the Apple moat, the developer trap, and the sheer logistical nightmare of hardware, how on earth do they survive this? Because the leak outlines a few potential paths that don't involve conquering the U.S. market immediately.
The most viable paths involve what we could call the Xiaomi playbook. Scenario 1 and 2 from the analysis suggest OpenAI shouldn't try to build an $800 flagship device to compete directly with the iPhone Pro.
Okay, so go cheaper.
Exactly. They price it aggressively at $299 to $399. They focus entirely on emerging markets, places like India, Brazil, and Indonesia. In those regions, Apple's ecosystem grip is significantly weaker because of price sensitivity. OpenAI could offer localized AI that flawlessly understands regional dialects and heavy offline processing capabilities for areas with spotty internet infrastructure.
That makes a lot of sense. Don't fight Apple in New York. Fight them in New Delhi, where the market is still incredibly fluid. Or, there's scenario 3, they don't try to be a hardware brand at all. They partner with an existing massive brand.
Like a car company.
Exactly. Imagine a Tesla phone powered by OpenAI. You leverage Tesla's diehard hardware fans, their existing manufacturing mindset, and you combine it with OpenAI's software brain. But looking closely at these sources, there's a slightly darker, more defensive reality driving this entire initiative. This 2028 phone project, it seems to be Plan B. OpenAI originally invested heavily in the Humane AI Pin as their hardware vessel.
Right, and the Humane AI Pin was a catastrophic market failure. It was heavily criticized for being slow, overheating, and fundamentally misunderstanding how people want to interact with technology in public. Reports suggest it saw return rates as high as 90%.
90%.
Yeah. So when your current 2028 strategy is essentially a backup plan born from a highly public hardware humiliation, you are starting from a defensive posture.
But even if this is a desperate pivot, does the hardware actually need to dominate the market to be successful? What if Ming-Chi Kuo's 300 million unit number is just a distraction?
How do you mean?
Well, let's say OpenAI executes the Xiaomi playbook. They sell 50 million cheap AI-first phones in emerging markets over a couple of years. Isn't that enough to completely terrify Apple and Google into fundamentally changing their own operating systems? Does it really matter if it fails as a global monopoly?
That is the crucial takeaway here. The industry consensus is that the probability of OpenAI actually shipping 300 million units in their first iteration is less than 20%. The logistical gravity is just too strong, but the threat of the hardware alone is a massive catalyst for the entire industry.
Right.
It provides a proof of concept for agentic computing. It signals to the legacy tech giants that the era of manually switching between fragmented apps just to accomplish one simple task is ending. The real winner here is the consumer. It forces Apple and Google to stop treating AI as a quirky add-on feature and instead accelerate the integration of AI directly into the nervous system of iOS and Android.
It's an incredible inflection point to witness. We've unpacked a lot today, starting with Ming-Chi Kuo's shocking 2028 leak of a screen without apps, digging into the mechanics of digital waiters and API limits, and exploring the promise of a centralized AI that orchestrates your life in the background.
It's a lot to take in.
It really is. We've looked at the very real structural walls of Apple's Blue Bubble ecosystem, the privacy nightmare of feeding an AI your entire digital footprint, and the brutal invisible logistics that have buried so many phone companies before. For you listening, we are standing right on the precipice of a post-app world. The grid of squares you tap every day is living on borrowed time. And what you are watching right now is a high-stakes, multi-billion dollar race. On one side, you have an AI company desperately trying to learn hardware. On the other side, you have a hardware company desperately trying to learn AI.
And as we navigate this profound shift, there is one critical dynamic we all need to be aware of. We've talked about what happens if OpenAI replaces our apps. But think about your own habits for a second. If an AI agent becomes the sole filter between you and the digital world, choosing your rides, answering your emails, filtering your news, Are you paying for a deeply convenient assistant, or are you volunteering to be the ultimate training data for a machine that learns how to be human? Something to think about the next time you open an app.
A perfect and slightly chilling place to leave it. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive, for bringing your curiosity, and for exploring the cutting edge with us. Until next time.